Hi, my name is Sean Taylor, the guy down there. That's my friend Chris Ford, a.k.a. the Objective Geek of YouTube and Twitter and Blue Sky and Instagram and possibly OnlyFans fame. And then the guy over there, that's our friend John, who's a special guest today. I think he's been on twice before, maybe. I can't remember if we had to split that into two episodes just because we talked too much. And we're bringing John on because we wanted to talk about Superman. And so today we are going to rank all of the Superman theatrically released and also non-theatrically released counterparts films, Superman films. And we wanted to do this with John. So John's here. John, how are you? How have you been? What have you been up to?
Oh, man, just chasing kids around, work and housework, bathroom remodels, and just all sorts of craziness. 2026 will be the year that, like, $10,000 doesn't leave my pocket for house repairs. So just been busy, busy.
I'll believe it when I see it. Do you, are you handy? Or are you doing your own remodels? I remember one time, I only asked because I remember one time when Chris was doing his own bathroom and I was really impressed. I was like, am I the only one who's like absolutely worthless at this stuff?
Well, I was downstairs, like in this room, my little man cave thing. And like, I could hear water coming down from the ceiling in another room. And yeah, the tub rusted out. So I got to replace the tub. So I take off a couple tile. Hopefully I can put the tile back when I replace the tub. And then it's black mold all the way to the ceiling. So I take all the tile down and then, yeah, do some pipe work and then get a new tub in there and like, okay, let's replace the toilet while we're at it and some tile work. It was good times. Yeah. And then I was like, well, I might as well do the bathroom in the basement while I'm at it. I was like a 2 month mess. Yeah.
That is a
somewhat handy.
That is a train of logic that I would have stopped much sooner.
That's how it goes, man. Keep going downhill.
I hear that.
I cannot install a bathtub on my. I had someone put a bathtub in.
But Chris, you did a the toilet and the tile, right?
I don't even do toilets. I did the
you
tile.
Did that, you did
I
that did... funny corner toilet you have in the bathroom that I like. It's a fun toilet.
no, I did not do it. I had some. I could do it. I'm just like, I'll just. It's not even that expensive to get done, so I just had someone else do it.
I can do sinks. I could do the literal toilet, but if it needs cut and like measured and cut intelligently and evenly, I'm out.
Oh yeah, mine was like when the house was built, the old toilet was put in there, and like my brother snapped the bolt off of it while dropping a log, and then like I had to cut the other one off with an angle grinder, and then like cut some of the concrete off to level it off, and then get the new plastic, cover, and it was just. It was just one thing after another. I had to redo the piping in the basement down here for the shower. It never ended, but it's done now and there's been no issues, knock on wood. So
excellent.
Yeah. And then like 2 months before that, I got my wife's car and like it like bottomed out. So I had to replace all the struts and shocks and brakes and calipers and rotors. It was crazy. He was like $3,500. I was like, no, I'll do it myself for like $1,200. So yeah, again, 2026 is going to be the year of like minimal projects.
I do feel a little bit there. We went through a phase here where we had to have our AC and furnace replaced, and then like next, like that was a couple weeks ago, and then now we're having to buy a new vehicle like next week. So I do feel a little bit of that, but for the record, I'm buying a new vehicle not related to the fact that I would not be able to replace my own struts in my vehicle, separate conversation. I wouldn't be able to do that either. Pretty good at changing oil and air filters. That's about where my expertise stops.
My dad taught me how to do all that stuff. And I was like, nah, I got money.
I get that. The reason I work a job.
Right.
Like, he taught me how to change brakes and stuff, and I forgot. I don't know. I'm not changing brakes. Like, what if I mess up? Then I have terrible brakes. I don't want. I know you test them and stuff while you do it, but nah, I'm good.
I don't even have ramps, so I can't change the oil in the Civic because it's too low to the ground. But the truck, if I park it up on the curb at an angle, and then I can like wiggle myself under there at the curb to change the oil in the truck. And I ask myself when I'm down there, Sean, is this worth saving the $40? And
yeah,
it's out of 50-50 on that. 50-50.
Your time is worth something, that's for sure. But I'm so darn stingy, and like I always feel like I'll do it right. I'll do it my way. You know, no, I don't know. It's a mistake. And then by the time my kids get old enough to help me out, I'll probably be so burnt out and just pay for it. So, like, I've been trying to get them to help me out a little bit, but yeah, I don't.
You're in the hold the flashlight phase with your kids?
Pretty much, yeah. I was putting I got a Ford Maverick, and I was putting lights in the bed with plug-ins and stuff like that. And, like, my son was helping me for about 3 minutes, and all of a sudden he was just, like, taking the wire and, like, taking all the cover off of it, and, like, just shredding the wire. I was like, well, he's here, but, yeah, it was no help.
His heart's in the right place, but not him physically.
Right.
But what fun stuff you been up to? We talked to you, you know, like, literally once or twice a year. What's in the time that you do have, what have you been doing for entertainment?
I've been redoing this room a little bit, just kind of going back to, like, collecting some of the Kenner stuff and just doing some customs and some minor, minor toy customs, really. And then golf. I've had some really bad golf, which is, you know, not very much. But and then I had, like, one good day of golf and then just, yeah, hanging out with family. And now we're watching the Chiefs and hoping for better results soon. How about you guys? I think I beat the Giants.
Yeah, if we can't beat the Giants. But listen, we are going to beat the Giants. Let's put that out there first. I'm not a doubter. But if we don't beat the Giants, that would be the first, like, actual signal of, well.
If we don't beat the Giants, though, Chiefs tickets might go down. Then I'll go to the game.
You can get, like, a cold weather game against the, I don't know, the Browns or whoever we play in the doldrums of December.
Well, from what I've heard, we've never actually beat them at their stadium, so that makes me a little nervous.
It's a newer stadium. I want to say it's probably 20-teens, early 20-teens, MetLife. But
still, it just doesn't make me feel happy inside. But anyway, what have you guys been up to? Yeah, I saw you at Johnny's Tavern or whatever for briefly, and then that was it. I haven't seen you guys since Comic-Con.
Don't even remember what I was doing at Johnny's Tavern. I remember I saw you there. I've been weirdly into card games, both of the digital and the physical variety. I've been playing a lot of Balatro. I've always liked card games. Been playing a lot of Balatro on a Switch. And then recently I'm on, like, a little Magic the Gathering kit because I played with some buddies. And then the Avatar set is coming out too. So probably playing more card games than a grown adult should be. Chris, how about you, man?
I've been chilling, man. Just work. I'm back to working on more custom action figures and stuff. I recently finished this Mr. Terrific, speaking of, we might speak of today, this Mr. Terrific statue that I did. This was a Captain America statue, and I turned it into a Mr. Terrific statue. So, and now I'm working on another statue. So I'm getting back into customizations, and trying to cut back a little bit on my purchases. I did it recently. I recently redid my basement, like moved a bunch of stuff around to make the collection stuff make more sense, and I love it now. It's greatly organized. And then I took inventory on everything, and it's a lot. It's a lot, yeah. John. It's over 1,000 separate pieces, and it's worth.
I had to, like, condense and, like, box, and, like, my eBay store has just been nuts because I just, like, I have got to get it under control. Like, I got to get specific. Like, that's why I like collecting, like, the old Kenner figures and, like, some of these, 3.75. I want it to look good, clean, similar. I want the flow. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm happy with it now. Like, I'm going to start working on, like, some actual, like, cave work and stuff, like, just with foam and stuff like that, and actually, like, make them all look good. But I'm happy with it now. As before, it was just, like, cool stuff everywhere, but it didn't have any flow to it. So,
you got to tell a story. You know, people tell the stories a different way, but can't. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
John, there's a toy and collectible show in Lee's Summit. I won't be there because I'll be out of town. I want to say this next weekend in Lee's Summit. You going to go to that? Do you sell at those things sometimes?
No, most of mine just on eBay, just for buyer protection and just for convenience and stuff like that. Like, yeah, it's just mostly it's convenience. But
well, there's a toy show, collectible show in Lee's Summit this next weekend. If you're bored, I said I wanted to go, but I'll be out of town. I always wonder those things. I never buy anything there because I I don't know. I just don't. But I always I like being
they
there.
Took your $5. They took your $5 for free.
They did, and I had a good day, Chris. That's what I got out of the deal. That's what I got.
Just fun going and looking and stuff. Like
you see so many things that you wouldn't see in person anywhere else, right? Yeah. Just like I'm not gonna buy it, but that's cool as crap.
Yeah. When I go on work conferences and like I'm like, oh, I want to go to the mall or to a local comic book store or to a toy store. I know that I'm not buying a lot, but I still take a Lyft or an Uber there. That costs me probably $17 just to get me there. And I don't even buy much if I buy anything at all because I can't put that much stuff into luggage. I'm still like, nah, I paid really for the experience of just walking around the store.
Just see something different.
Yeah.
Did you guys buy any of the Batman Returns McFarlane that came out today?
Oh, I didn't see that.
I did. I only pre-ordered, which I'm proud of myself. This is me trying to cut back. I only pre-ordered the Catwoman and the Penguin. I already have Keaton 89 one. And I was like, you know what? I don't need to double dip on Keaton. I don't need to have a Batman Keaton and a Returns Keaton. I can be fine with just one Keaton. And then I'm going to try and customize a Jack Nicholson Joker. I have the pieces. I bought a 3D head print for it. So I'll customize that. And then that would be the end of that era. That era will be fine. Like I have a whole section over there. It's just those movie stuff of all the, pretty much all those McFarlanes. Oh, that looks nice. Jeez.
Yeah, I think it's like the Beast Kingdom or whatever. Yeah. It's pretty baller.
Oh man.
Look at McFarlane out there still thriving though. After that, those guys had to have been around for 35 years at this point.
Yeah. He's losing the license though at the end of this year. So it kind of sucks, but I've got the giant duck with the penguin because I have like the old.
Did you know, I was oh gosh, John. I went back and forth like, do I need the giant duck is iconic. It is. It's like I was talking to myself. Well, penguin is $34.99. That means I can get the giant duck for like $65.
That's a deal.
And it is, but also. That penguin is like the end of the movie penguin where he has on just his like onesie. And I kind of wanted the penguin with the whole get up. And I was like, do I really need to spend? No, I'm fine. I don't.
I've got this guy from like Mattel.
Over there.
So I was like, I'll get the one, you know, the onesie, and then I'll have this guy off to the side.
Yeah. Do the Mattel ones. They articulate quite a bit, don't they?
They're pretty good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not as good as the McFarlane, but they're also a little bit better proportioned. Just the technology of the like the face sculpts wasn't quite as good as they are now.
Yeah, that's reasonable.
But I do want to show. I'm gonna mess this all up, but I can't hurry. But I don't know if you can see the ducky up there.
Yeah,
I
see the duck.
See the duck. He pops.
Yeah,
you're not making me regret not getting the duck, but I'll be all right. It's probably sold out now. The pre-orders and.
Oh, there'll be more, though.
I think that was a GameStop exclusive. Yeah, it'll probably be a GameStop.
John, I appreciate your bat wings hanging from the ceiling. I feel like it's cool anytime somebody incorporates the ceiling of their space. I don't do it at all. I'm jealous. That's nice. That's good use of the space.
Yeah, I've got as my projector, but I've got the... where is he? Sorry, guys. We're going on random already. But
hey.
This guy I've got to hang out, but just haven't done it yet.
Witness turn.
Yeah, I got that one also.
well, excellent. John, thanks for coming on talking Superman with us, because you'll be a much more useful conversational counterpart to Chris when it comes to Superman. But I don't even remember what inspired this other than the notion that like I'd probably only seen half of these movies. And I'd probably only seen that half one time, and I decided I wanted to watch them all, and that we should, and then we, as a group, decided we should rank them all, and that sounded fun. But I'm glad you're here so you can actually, Chris has like a intelligent conversationalist on the other side. We'll probably split this into two, because I know our penchant for talking, and that's great. And so I think we're going to start, the first one we'll rank the low, there's 11, we're going to rank 11 of these things. The Moleman did not make it. Batman and the Mole Men did not make it, even though I did watch that film, 1952 or something. It was weird. Not 1952, where it's weird for today. So we're going to rank 11 of these things, and we'll probably start this first half with ranking 11 through 6. And we'll just snake from the bottom up. And that's all I got. Chris, am I forgetting anything? Am I
you're not forgetting anything. Before we get started, though, I do want to say that this, out of all the podcasts and anyone in the world reviewing this list, you two are probably the most qualified, because you two are genuine Smallville boys from Smallville, Kansas. And so just want to let that note.
John's basically small. I mean, I don't think McPherson has like a claim to it the way that Hutchison kind of pretends to, but you're basically there. You're basically Hutch, right? 30 minutes.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I went to Hutchison Community College, graduated from there. Yeah.
Which, yeah, so, and then my family would be like 60 minutes if you're buying into the Hutch thing. Chris, what did we decide? Did we say that we felt like Emporia was the best fit geographically?
That's a
debate. John, if you have input here too, where is Smallville really?
I think we, it's funny, because the Smallville in the, I forgot which one, but the Smallville in the DCEU, in the Snyderverse, specifically, can probably only be one of two cities. Because I was like, all right, they use 785 area codes. They have a Sears. And then, like, I narrowed it down to somewhere that was, like, northeast of Topeka. Like, between Topeka and Kansas City, but, like, more northern, somewhere up there, had all those, like, qualifiers.
That's ridiculous. Nobody has a Sears anymore, Chris. Don't be silly.
Not anymore.
But did we say that, like, we think a Smallville...
I think we settled on Emporia is a pretty Walmart? Good... Yeah, we need... If you have a Sears, you got a Walmart. Or, right? So we said, okay, you got to have a Walmart. But we still wanted...
Might have been back in the day.
We still wanted the rural, like, remoteness vibes. And I think that's what took us to Emporia. It's like, yeah, you're a city, and you've got a Walmart, but you have to drive an hour and 15 minutes to get to the next city, like, any direction.
Yeah, that's why McPherson's nice, just because it's like 45 minutes from Wichita, 30 minutes from Salina, 30 minutes from Hutch. Like it's
remote.
Like you got and like it's just so close to everything that, you know, it's got good opportunities. Like if you want to work factory, which I was tired of after a little less than a decade, but yeah. You know.
Sure. But in my heart, I always pictured Smallville being even smaller still, like one of those towns that maybe has a few stoplights and a Dollar General, but then there wouldn't be enough. Exposure.
Oh yeah, they got Dollar Generals. I really like the way Smallville, not that I'm getting ahead of ourselves here, was portrayed in the Snyder movies. Like there's clearly a main street where the Sears was on.
Kansas staple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that town depicted in Snyder and Man of Steel reminded me of like all the towns I traveled through between Tulsa and Topeka that I don't want to go through, but I have to travel through of like, all right, let me go. This is 25 miles per hour and stuff. And like, they're probably about 2 miles long. And then of course, like out of that main street, there's, you know, stuff outside of, there's, you know, the more ruinous stuff outside of it.
I think being from Kansas is the only connection I would have to being a Superman expert. I think these movies, before I did this, I'd seen BVS twice, the Justice League movies, Man of Steel, and probably Superman 3 and 4. And that was the extent of my knowledge. So this is a big journey for me, and it was a lot of fun. But... John, as our guest, do you want to give us your number 11 first? We can go John, Sean, Chris, and then snake back. Does that sound right?
Okay. Well, okay. So there's the worst, no question, without a shadow of a doubt.
Oh, wait, I think, wait. I think we're all going to have the same 11. Let me say that first.
Do you think so?
I think we'll all have the same.
Is it one of two or is it really just one?
I won't hear anything else but this movie because it's bad.
Okay. Okay. I think now I'm nervous. I think I'm going to be wrong, actually.
Yeah, no, I think we're not going to have the same one. We're not.
Uh-oh. All right, John, go ahead.
All right, the worst one is Superman 3.
Okay, that's what I put. Okay, I put 3.
Oh, okay, yes. Superman 3.
4, I was like, no, 3 is terrible. And that's, I love Richard Pryor, right? He's in some of my favorite movies, right? Like, The Toy, See No Evil, Hear No Evil.
Tremendous
like,
comedian.
Harlem Nights is my favorite comedy of all time.
Tremendous and comedian.
He ruins the movie. It is his movie with like Superman shows up every once in a while.
He's so awkward in it. He's so awkward.
I will say this. He has one of my favorite lines and I cracked up laughing. He was like, I don't want to go back to prison. They got rapists and robbers and rapists who raped the robbers. And I like that line for some reason.
Well, because that was Richard Pryor, right? Like that line delivery, that's just like a Richard Pryor one-liner, so it fit. But when he's just like, when he just sits down and he just is a magician programmer, I was like, I hate this already. I'm 5 minutes in the movie, I hate this.
Well, and then like later on, like the sister is like a computer whiz anyway, so he's kind of worthless. Like he just doesn't like this is slightly after he lit himself on fire, so I don't know if that like threw his game off a little bit from his like almost near death experience or something, but like, and it was supposed to be like Supergirl was supposed to be in there. This is the year before Supergirl. It was supposed to be Brainiac and another villain, and then they just threw it all away because they didn't think general audiences would like that. Like, yeah, they were just like, no, let's go with something just more normal. So like they threw it all away. Like I like the I can't remember his name now, but I like the villains, but it's strange also because the gal who plays, I always forget their names, but the gal who plays the main villain that she becomes the computer gal, she does the voiceover work for the, what's her name, in Superman 2. So it like always messed with me even as a kid, that voice, like it just felt off.
I had a hard time finding, I assume since we all three picked the same, we're just kind of throwing darts at it now. I had a hard time finding anything redeeming about this movie, and the only things that were memorable were the bad memorables.
Terrible. I mean, now this is probably the best Christopher Reeve ever looked. Like he is jacked. Mm. He's wearing a hairpiece because he's starting to lose his hair, so his hair is always looking real good.
Is that why?
I didn't know that.
I was distracted by the hair. I was like, what's up with his hair?
It looked looked really like solid. Like you could have sat something on it.
Kind of added to me, it added to his build almost. I don't know, but
I mean, Superman as a visual, I don't hate the idea of him even his hair looking a little bit like extra. You know, I don't hate that in concept. But see, I wouldn't even notice that from Superman 3. To me, it was like Superman 4. I'm like, damn, that guy just looks good.
Yeah. I will say, I do like the drunk scene though. Like when he gets super drunk with the security guard and like
in the random, what even is that place? Is it like a Case International tractor sales place? Like what?
Right. Super random that it's connected to everything. I don't know. Super dumb. Like, I'm so glad that we're on the same page. I was scared you were going to say another one. I was going to be way off.
No, I was so nervous when you said there's only one answer. It's like, yeah, oh God, like, I'm already going to mess this up.
Yeah.
Okay, no, 3 is the worst, despite what other people will say.
But Superman 3, the good thing about it, wait, let me start with something wacky. This movie starts off nuts.
It does.
This movie starts off, I'm like, what the heck is this? What are we doing here? Like they are...
It starts off like a bad Hallmark movie, like the cityscape walking track. I can't describe
it.
I'm like, when is the movie starting? Like, why are we following this weird, random sequence of events, like dominoes, that don't really go anywhere? I was so confused by it.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to do it. Lester didn't want to do it. They tried to sell the rights to somebody else to get it. Like, Christopher Reeve didn't want to come back. Like, I can't remember who they wanted for this movie, but even they were like, I'm not getting into those after Christopher Reeve.
Understandable.
And then this is the one that Margaret Kidder is not in it, right? She's in it, but they like completely wrote her out. It was like Lois is going on vacation.
Well, that's because
she came.
She mouthed off on the first movie because of what happened to Donner. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I will say this: the best thing about this movie is, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting her name. He goes to Smallville, and he meets up with Lana Lang. Mm-hmm. I like her because she, the thing all these movies I think are missing is that no one likes Clark Kent, but she likes Clark Kent, like for him, for who he is. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah, that's kind of, I didn't think about that. That's a nice thing. Way to find one thing.
Maybe Jimmy, I don't know, but
yeah, I mean they like, don't get me wrong, they like Clark. But they're just like, but like they like Clark like they like any other
as a coworker person. Or
and
as
Jimmy,
a
Jimmy might like,
classmate.
And Jimmy like might like him. And Jimmy yeah. might like him like as a friend. But like Lois doesn't really care about Clark.
Well, let's get
all.
To Lois not liking Clark later, because that's going to be a thing that we're going to discuss at length. Oh god. I know we all kind of went at the same time, but Chris, do you want to do your 10?
Whew. Okay. My number 10 is Superman the movie. It is the
so that is not what I thought you were going to say.
What?
I am dead serious. I am a very genuine and honest person. I don't try and enforce stuff just for a take or anything. I am honest when I say the first Superman movie is my second least favorite of them all. And I know that hurts. And I know I might have offended someone. And it just goes to show just
John's
how different
gonna leave. John's been here for 20 minutes. And he's going to leave.
That brutal. Are you like, I don't even want to hear it. Like, just stop. Stop. Like, that's insane. That's insane.
I didn't want this. You know, I don't need to bring this to him. It's just the movie is honestly pretty boring.
Chris, you sound like sound like the villain that's blaming the victims. Like, I didn't do this to you. You did this to you. That's what you sound like right now.
There's absolutely some great stuff in it. I'll say that. But I'm not that big of a fan of Gene Hackman's Lex Luthor. I get it. Like, Lex Luthor at the point in time, like in the comics, wasn't even like he is currently of like this brilliant, brilliant mastermind, smartest man in the world type of character. He probably was more like, so that's nothing against Gene Hackman. And he was fun. It's just the plot of the movie is fairly boring to me. The like, oh, going to send missiles and stuff, and he catches the missiles. That's boring. Everything just moving kind of slow. And I'll say this. I give Zack Snyder some crap about him being overindulgent, and these movies are very, Superman 1 is very overindulgent, just a sense that like these scenes are just taking long times and stuff, taking long duration. And then again, the way he solves his problems at the end, to me, just doesn't resonate with me of like him going back in time. Like, if I never watch this movie again, I'll be perfectly fine.
To be fair, that wasn't supposed to be the ending. Like, in context, that wasn't supposed to be the ending.
I think that's what makes the early movies tough here. So I didn't know any of this stuff until we started talking about this, John. And what you told me has been super insightful. Like, I had no idea about any of these issues. Like, I'm just a 2025 man watching these movies for the first time in 2 decades, you know? I think that makes the first 4 tough to evaluate.
That's insane. I can't. I got nothing. Chris,
you broke him.
I'm hurt.
You broke him.
I wanted to preface this whole thing by saying John's not gonna like my list, but I thought that would be too spoilery.
It's too giveaway
for the list.
Right.
I mean, nobody's gonna like your list. That's crazy. You put 78. You put 4 over 78. That's crazy.
I must have done it because I haven't thought about it.
Maybe this is a good transition to me, if you don't mind, and that's because I'll say, yep. I put four. Four is my second to last, so four is my number 10. So I tried to summarize my thoughts, and I assume that we'll go off on tangents here. But to me, four wasn't as bad as I remember very vaguely in my childhood, and not even my child, maybe 10, 12 ballpark, except that Ultraman was just, like, kind of awkwardly and poorly handled. I thought it was going to be as bad as three.
What was his name?
Nuclear Man.
Nuclear Man, pardon me. I thought it was going to be as bad as three. Like, when I was watching three, I was like, oh, this is probably how bad four is. No, four was still just, like, notably better to me than three. But still number 10 on my list. It's not a good film. And then to build on something Chris said earlier, I don't like Gene Hackman Luthor. He's not my type. They don't present... He just says I'm the greatest villain a lot, but we haven't seen him do anything very useful as a villain or very villainous. And even the stuff he does do, it just shows it being, like, done and having happened. You know, I'm not sold on Hackman.
Right. In four, there was 45 minutes cut out of it to where, like, there was supposed to be a scene of, like, him trying to make, like, another Superman and failing and, like, There was supposed to be more to a lot of that. That got cut out, unfortunately. It got cut down from, like, 45 minutes. I think it's 87-minute runtime. It got butchered because of...
But it needed that time, right? Gene Hackman needed that time as Luthor to develop that character. And that's honestly a prevailing issue with all of the Hackman-Luthor movies, to me personally. But number four, I thought this is still an easy choice. I thought my number 11 and my number 10, I felt were very easy selections.
Well, I feel good about my next one.
Well, you probably change yours.
He's over here typing real fast and fixing it.
Right here. Okay. It's right here. No. Second to worst. And I will hear arguments on this, but to me and how I feel and, like, I don't like, and I tried to watch it again today and fell asleep. I don't like Superman 25. I don't like it.
Okay.
This is why I've learned about myself that I love disagreeing with people. I love, because that's why I also tied for this. I knew John would have much different opinions about me than this. And I love it because I love disagreeing with people and talking about different stuff because it's fun to do. Internet's not the best place to do that, so that's why I respect your wrong opinion. But yeah.
Oh my god! But okay, here's my...
go ahead. Sorry.
Here it is. Okay, like some people say, like I'm a little too passionate about some of this, like take it personal stuff like that. But the scary thing is this is like the start, right? Like, this is the start of the new DC universe. And so, like, if this does really, really well, you're going to get more of this. And I think that James Gunn shtick gets real old real fast. Mm-hmm. I didn't like Crypto. He's used way too much. And, like, there's, like, again, the realism, like, physicality, physics matter to me in these movies. Like, that dog would be ripping through. Like, he should have killed Mr. Terrific and Lois while they're in the hole. Like, the whole movie.
He didn't hit him.
So.
He's whining and get his butt kicked the whole movie.
Chris, you know how I like to pick a thing that bugs... I don't do it on purpose. It happens. There'll be a thing that bugs me. This shouldn't bug me as bad as it does, but it does. And in the Superman 2025 movie, it's the stupid robots. It's those damn...
Robots?
Those campy robots. What are they doing there? How did they get there? Did he build them by himself? Why do they look like crap also? They look terrible.
They looked amazing. Those were like...
Nope.
Those weren't even CG.
Nope.
Those were actually bad. Built.
Well, then they shouldn't have been like actually... because they look bad. They look stupid, like a kid's toy.
I have an action figure of it, and it looks great. Nope. I don't want to grab it because I don't want to risk... It's actually really good
action. Tudyk has been like he has a little like... tights on with the little CGI balls and stuff like that. Like, they're CG. The whole thing is CG. The Fortress of Solitude... All of it is all, it's terrible. It's terrible.
Obviously, I don't feel as strongly about as John does, Chris. I'm just pointing out, that was that thing. There's always a thing with me that sticks.
A robot?
And it was those stupid robots. They pissed me off.
You should watch them behind the scenes. Because robots, they actually made...
So
not all of them, they made one. and then used it.
But I feel the same way about behind the scenes. So this is where, you know, this is where we all value things differently, right? So like a lot of John's opinions would be different than mine because I don't value the context of like, well, this is what these first four movies should have been. Chris, the same way with like the behind the scenes, like that doesn't fix it to me. You know, I still watch it on screen. I'm like, oh, those look stupid and I hate them.
Yeah, they just exposition dump right in the beginning. Like, well, he likes it. We'll put it on for him. You've said the same thing every time he walks through the door. Like, what? Like, oh, guys, we got like 5 minutes of Clark. So that was wasted. Can't even really talk about that portrayal. Like, he walks in. They're already dating. All the relationships are already established. Lex Luthor doesn't have to try at all. He just gets everything. Pocket dimension. Oh, let's get a clone. Let's do all this stuff because we just can't. We don't have to try at all. So, and it's all there.
That part I don't mind because I don't need a new origin story every time. So that part I don't mind that they have just elected to start the story here instead of here. I don't need a new origin every single, which is funny because Chris, I would imagine, would want to see like a reimagining of an origin every time.
I am of two minds that I love seeing origins. Like, show me the Waynes getting killed every time. I love it. I don't care.
Show me the murders.
Because that stuff builds the character. And I know every single iteration of these characters have all experienced the same thing, more or less. But I still like seeing it. But from a person who reads comics, and James Gunn is a huge comic book fan. Like, he is, out of all the directors of superhero movies ever, he is, without a doubt, the biggest comic book fan. And he promotes comic books, like, way more than anybody. He'll be like, hey, we're basing this off this movie. Go read these comics. And, like, and their comic book sales have increased in those specific stories that he's said, yeah, go read those comics. And so, and I'm not trying to say, like, oh, you guys don't read comics stuff. Maybe you do read comics. I don't know.
Nope.
Even if you don't read comics, whatever. But oftentimes, comics just drop you in. It's like, they don't hold the hand of the viewer. It's like, part of the fun is catching up. And so that is, I'm not saying that is like, I think in my review on Facebook, I said, for better or worse, this is a very comic book movie. And that's part of that sense of like, it does drop you into the movie of like, hey, pick up, we're going. Like, this is a comic book. Like, Superman has Superman robots. Like, don't question it. He has Superman robots. Like, that's how it is in the comic that this movie's based on. It's based on Superman, All-Star Superman. And All-Star Superman, he has Superman robots. I don't ask, oh, where do the Superman robots come from? Where do they get built? What is this? I'm just like, this is a comic book. Like, I know in the span of this universe, I can fill in that stuff in my head and myself. And I can just accept that, all right, there's these things, and this is these people, this is this world, this is this universe that they're already in. But I still understand the sentiment of like, hey, what the heck? Like, we're going faster.
Well, I feel like in a movie though, you need to build chemistry. Like, you need to see these relationships developing in some way other than just like we barely meet them. They're getting ready to make some babies, then all of a sudden they're in a huge argument. And it's like, she's never like talk to Superman that way. Like, it just weird.
I hated that whole scene. That whole scene pissed me off so much.
You hate that? That's one of the best freaking scenes of that interview.
Nope.
It's one of the best.
Annoyed the crap out of me.
Lois has ever. Okay. Sorry for that.
No. What? One of the best. What is this movie? Is this movie like a HBO drama? Is this a family? Like a campy family feature with a dog superhero saving the day all the time? Is this like an HBO comedy where John Cena Peacemaker is making appearances and they're making lots of like sex jokes? Like, what is this movie trying to be?
Right. It wants to be rated R. It's like, oh, we're not going to kill anybody. We're not going to show the deaths of anybody. But then all of a sudden we're going to show like, you know, good versus evil, like the bad guys with all the guns and like the guys with shovels about ready to fight. And like, we're going to raise these stakes. Oh my God, New York is splitting open. Metropolis is splitting open, but nothing's really happening. It's like they want to do all of it while keeping it G or PG. Like it's a weird tone vibe.
It is. It's such a...
That's the tone of comic books.
But I say all this, and John, I'm saying all these things in complete agreement with you, and yet I will try to not give away much. I say is like I don't feel nearly as bad about this movie as you do, but you are hitting on some things that just like as I was watching, I was like, what the hell is going on here?
One rebuttal that I will not co-sign at all that you mentioned, John, is he gets beat up a lot. I think that is one of the. I'm not saying that's not true. I'm saying that is a. I think that critique is unfair and unwarranted in telling a story. You can't have your main character has to face some type of obstacles. They have to be beaten down because what's the point if they just beat everything? It's like we love stories about heroes and stuff because when they get knocked down, they still get back up. If he's never getting knocked down, why do I like I'm not relating to him just winning everything. And also, so that's one part of it. And also, look at who he's losing to. He's losing to himself.
But he was getting beat up by the engineer. Like, the engineer should not be able to go toe-to-toe. Yeah,
she was tag-teaming him with himself.
Right, but, like, she should punch him, and, like, maybe it would hurt a little itsy-bitsy wind, but, like, she is not Superman. Like, again, I don't want Zack Snyder's, like Dragon Ball Z, like, stuff, but, like...
I mean, I loved it.
But. I think there's a nice in-between, like, the original Superman and, like, Zack Snyder's. There's somewhere in between where you can, like, still make him a little vulnerable, but he needs to stand out a little. Like, and here's my other problem.
He blows himself, he uses super breath to go off a black hole. He lifts a building up. He definitely shows his strength and power, which is stronger probably than anything Cavill has ever done. Granted, Zack Snyder is so good at... this is like me arguing Avatar feats. Okay, like Korra feats. Like Korra versus Aang feats. Because everyone is like, Korra is so weak. Honestly, and this is something similar between these two different Supermen. Is that... Well, John, you never watched Legend of Korra. But... Korra gets beat up a lot. And a lot of Avatar fans are like, Aang never got beat up. Like, what's going on? But they do show Korra, like, she's the next Avatar after Aang. And she goes through adversity. Like, she faces villains that Aang couldn't really probably... I mean, he could do. I'm just saying, she faces harder level villains. And she gets the crap beat out of her a lot. And fans get on to her about that. And I'm like, well, you want to have your character go... Same thing I just said. But in terms of feats, Cavill Superman has never done a feat as strong as lifting a building up, holding a building up. He's never done anything as strong as being sucked into a black hole, which that's like some infinite type of stuff, and just air blowing yourself out of it just purely off super breath. Like physical feats that are a little more measurable, so, Cavill has never done anything.
It's funny that you're marking that as a pro, though, because I didn't like that scene either. I was like, he's pulling himself out of a black hole with
his
breath.
That's okay not to like it. That's okay not to like it. But I'm talking, my argument is about the physical strength of him.
But Henry Cavill, Superman, also separated the mother boxes with help from Cyborg. And we haven't seen how strong that was, to be fair. Like, and he had the rocket.
The rocket? That rocket was like the size of probably a diesel truck.
No, they're bigger like than that, right?
It looked like he was actually carrying, like he was just trying to gently put it down. Like it wasn't even affecting him. He was just gently putting it down. But anyway, hang on.
A 50-foot building.
This is the last thing I want to say, okay? The thing that bugs me too is that we open the movie with Superman getting the crap kicked out of him, right? And they want to find his hideout, right? So then they can find a way to, like, beat him. You already beat him. Like, he came back and was getting beat up again, which is really stupid, calling out moves when the guy's faster than a speeding bullet, but your words coming out of your mouth and somebody else's controls can beat him up. It's so stupid. But, like, he already lost the first fight, and he could have been ended right there. Now, had Lex said something about, like, I have to ruin his mystique. Like in Batman Returns, it was like, you know, don't make him a martyr, you know, make him one of us. Like, if he wanted to build that a little bit, but like later on he says it again too, where he's like, well, after this we'll kill him. Same thing with the Crypto the dog. Just have Ultraman go over there and snap his neck. He didn't have to do the rest of this crap. He could have already beaten Superman in the beginning of the movie. The rest of it is pointless.
He did say, he did allude to that. He might have said it outright, but also the thing about Lex Luthor is that he's so egotistical that he can't have Superman die as some big symbol. He needs to bring him down. So the real reason why he was going to the Fortress of Solitude wasn't to find a way to beat him. It was to find a way to discredit him and to make him worse. He was trying to convince the armies of, like, hey, you know, let me kill Superman to that way to mark him down to take away that symbol and mystique of him.
I get that, and that makes sense. Had they actually said that and like carried that a little bit, also, but why? Like, again, like, we have to go there and get this thing and say that it is. Like, if he can have pocket dimensions and all this other technology, just make up a signal that says whatever it is you want it to say. Like, it's just dumb that, like, we can do all this other stuff, but right here we have to get this message that was, oh, thank God it was there. Like, I don't know. And yeah, I didn't know how they did that. They did his parents dirty.
Well, because and we can talk in circle. I mean, they did have, I think the reason why they wanted to do that, because reason why they wanted to have them go get something that isn't necessarily manufactured by Lex Luthor, is that they then support that with, like, because Mr. Terrific coming and saying, yeah, like, all these people said that was legit. Like, if it was something that Lex just configurated or something, that would possibly call more into question of that not being legit. And also, sometimes a story just has the story.
All right. Well, we'll come back up again, so I'll let it go. But God, that movie's terrible.
It is a jagged.
I'm glad
it is a jagged experience.
I'm glad I put Superman 1 a second to last. Just for that. Spite.
So I just did Superman 4, and then John, was that you that? That we just got 2025 there, right? So now you give us your number 9.
Oh, man. This one, again, like, I don't hate this movie. I think it could have been better. But it is, like we talked about before, it's the black sheep. Like, it had a one-off, and it kind of petered off. It's Superman Returns. Like, I don't know. I don't really mind the kid, but at the time, it just seemed weird. It came out of nowhere. Like, it's connected to the Donner universe, but it's not really, like, you know, Kevin Spacey steals the show. Brandon Roth, like, he was at the time the best substitute for Christopher Reeves. Like, he has the stature, the size, the look, the cadence. Like, he's got all of it. Like, the suit sucks. But mostly, like, in the ending of him, like carrying the new landmass or whatever, like, with the shard in him and everything, like, there's some good moments, especially when he's like, you say the world doesn't need a Superman, but like, I can hear them and they're calling out for a savior.
That's the best moment. Yeah.
Yeah. One of those. I mean, there's good moments in it. Like when he's carrying the car, like off of the comic book, like there's good stuff. It just, it's just a weird little blah. And then it's gone.
Man. So I actually do. I like this one quite a bit, but I don't want to give away like how much. So I'll actually kind of refrain commentary here. Other than saying, I like Superman Returns quite a bit. I had quite a bit of fun watching. Chris, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I think you're. Superman 2 does have a lot of little good stuff in it, and it is kind of like it's out of all of them, it's probably the most stepchild of the movie because it's so one and done.
Watching with like a fresh perspective, because that one I don't know if I had ever seen. I maybe don't. Feel as bothered by the stepchildness of it. Like, I was aware, you know, it felt weird and displaced, but maybe that doesn't hit me the same way as longer time viewers.
Yeah, this one and Batman Begins came out about the same time, and like, I remember everybody
no, was so weird. Yeah. Returns is a little before Batman Begins, right? Just a hair.
I think Batman is June, I want to say, and maybe it was May, maybe.
Oh, so literally but next stage. Okay.
Batman Begins was absolutely June 15th.
Okay. I'm just going to throw it in the Google machine quick and see when Superman Returns came.
Yeah, but people in my high school were June talking 17th. Returns way more than they were Begins, and I was like, you guys, I don't know if we watched the same movie.
My high school is definitely a Batman, but like honestly neither, because we didn't have a movie theater, but Batman more so. But this says Superman Returns June
28th, 2006. Oh, man, so yeah, jeez.
Just there, to neck and neck. I don't remember hearing as much people talk about Superman, but again, we didn't have a movie theater.
Yeah, well, they're a year apart then, because Batman Begins came out 2005.
Oh, see, I thought Superman Returns was first. That's wild. Okay, anyway. So that was John's.
Sean, what was your... Sean, did you say your second to last?
My second to last is Superman 4, and we didn't dwell on it just a whole lot. But Superman 4 for sure.
Oh, I don't remember hearing that.
Yep. So then John's second to last was Superman 2025, and then his number 9 just now was Superman Returns, and that brings me to my number 9, which is Superman 2, the original cut. The most important scenes, the most important like cruxes and climax. This is the one I have the most strong feelings about. That the biggest parts of this story are the stupidest things, and they piss me off the most. And I was watching it, and I was like, oh my God, why would they just flesh it out a little bit more? And why does he feel compelled to make that decision that he did not need to feel compelled to make? And then Lois clearly does not love Clark Kent whatsoever, not even a little bit. And he should have known that before he made his stupid decision. So I would say that there's really good, there's really good bones to a movie here that I could see myself liking, but the most important pieces of the narrative made me the most upset. But otherwise, I liked hearing, I mean, great soundtrack. I liked the villains. I liked the underlying plot that we had working here. It just, I couldn't get over those big speed bumps. So Superman 2, that's my number 9.
For me, it doesn't bother me that she doesn't like Clark, because, like, in the first movie, it was like, I like Pink very much, Lois. Like, she loves Superman.
Then don't let him make that choice that he made.
But that Superman is Superman. Clark is Kal-El. Like, Clark is a nothing.
This is the thing.
That's what matters, is because Clark is nothing. Like, she loves Superman, and that's who he really is Kal-El.
Just let him be Superman. Don't let him make that choice.
So this, and I'm glad you brought this up. I'm glad you brought this up, because I did want to forget this.
Oh my God,
Kill Bill Volume 2. I love that movie.
Solid
at the end of the movie,
no, great
end of the movie, Bill is like telling, he has that whole Superman monologue of like pretty much telling her that like she's a killer. Like, you're a killer, like you disguise yourself. He says like, tells her about like, oh, well, Clark Kent is the mask, and he's a reflection of humanity, that Superman thinks humanity's like dorky and stuff and weak. The Superman is really him. And for the longest time, I was like, that is the and I'm still like that is the wrong interpretation of Superman. To me, either Quentin Tarantino doesn't understand Superman, or so for the longest time, I thought either Quentin Tarantino didn't understand Superman, or Bill within this universe thinks of Superman like that, because all the Superman I've watch,
I think the latter.
Except, and again, I don't really have a good memory of these movies, so I recently rewatched them all. But in watching all these ones, I'm like, oh, I get what he's saying, because in these movies, he is not Clark Kent. Like, but like Superman is him, and Clark Kent is the mask. When to me, and all the other iterations of Superman I've watched, from everything that I have and stuff, like, he's kind of both, but he's more Clark Kent.
He's neither, like, really, but like, he leans Clark in other universes.
And like, and sure, there's the Clark Kent of like, oh, hey, Lois, but he's still, even those, he's still Clark Kent. Like, he's still kind of dorky and stuff, and he's still very humble. And so,
that was like your Dave Chappelle white guy voice.
No, that's what you're like.
Well, hey, Tom, how are you doing? Oh, I'm sorry, that's Daniel Tosh doing a black person doing a white person. Anyway.
And so, for the longest time, I did not like, which I still don't like that one, because to me, he's just looking at the movies. And to me, Superman is more so Clark Kent than anything. Like, he was raised as Clark Kent. He never stopped being Clark Kent. he's always Clark Kent. That is who he is. And he's all, yes, he's also Superman. While on the flip side, Batman is most of the time Batman. He does see himself as Batman. There's this interesting... Yes, go ahead.
Remember, like, in Batman Beyond, where he was like, yes. Yeah, he was talking about like getting mind control, and he's like, well, he just kept calling me Bruce. In my mind, I called him Batman. I'm like, God, that is so cold. Like,
yes, oh. Yes. And there's a Wonder Woman comic book, well, a DC Trinity comic book, where like the three of them, Wonder Woman, Superman, and Batman, like they all make a pledge. And so one of them goes like, I, Diana, the mascara, pledge to so and so and so and so. And then Superman takes, and they all have the lasso of truth. They're all holding the lasso of truth, so they can't lie, right? And then Superman goes, I, Clark Kent. And he might say, I have to look, he might say Kal-El. I think he just, now I got to find it. Anyway, he goes, I, Clark Kent, pledge, so and so. And then Batman has it, he goes, I, Batman, does so and so. A pledge to do so and so. And then Superman's like, huh? And then like, I'm Batman.
Dude, that tells you, like, Batman is mental. That's why I love Batman 89, because you feel that, like, he could be the villain at any moment. That's why I love Batman vs. Superman. Like, he could snap any moment and just become the absolute villain of this universe. Like, I love that. I love it. And I want one movie, one time, one Batman movie to end up being Batman in Arkham Asylum. All of it is in his head. I want that. Just one. Give me one.
Oh, yeah, I thought you can go a different route.
Sorry. Anyway.
Even that's very good.
Yeah, I think it's one movie, yeah.
I got one more note to make on Superman 2, and it's just kind of at the end, and it's like the nail in the coffin, is that, like, he gets his powers back, and he makes a point to go back to the diner to get revenge on a random bully citizen. I was like, that's stupid. And that was like the nail in the coffin for me, just feel like, you know what? This movie, it isn't for me. I'm not the right audience.
Because in the Donner cut, that dude has no clue what happened because he goes back in time.
Yeah.
So he shows up, kicks the guy's butt for doing nothing.
Which is why.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good point that I actually hadn't considered yet. But also, I am really glad, the more and more I thought about it, I'm glad we agreed to separate it out because of the way it handles stuff differently. But I didn't even think about that. That poor guy didn't even know what's up in the Donner cut.
That's not a poor guy. He's a jerk.
He's still a jerk, yeah.
Trying
to put him on a different path.
Yeah. Well, blows up the Fortune of Solitude, which doesn't matter because he reverses time. Well, no. That's in the Donner, which is stupid. Anyway, go ahead.
I was just reiterating, yes, in the comic book, holding the lasso of truth, Superman says Clark Kent, Kal-El, and then Batman just says Batman.
That's sick. I'm surprised he didn't say, like, the last son of Krypton, like, you know, kind of like that extra little...
Yeah. Yeah, Wonder Woman definitely did. She was like, I, Wonder Woman, the mascara, daughter of Queen Hippolyta, like her whole... I love Wonder Woman.
It reminds me of Apollo Creed, where he's got, like, 38 different...
His little nicknames, yeah. I think that's I think that's a boxing trope in general. Right? Right. I think so. But Chris, that was my 9, and I think we're on to Chris's 9.
Okay. My 9, like you, Sean, is Superman 2. I wonder how much it's so strange that I forget. There's just things about this movie that just don't work in jail Superman 2, specifically the theatrical, that it's like the pieces are there but it's just not gelling together. And then when I watched the Donner cut, I was like, oh, okay. Like, it, for some, even though, and we'll get to the Donner cut, but even though the Donner cut doesn't change that much, but for some reason Richard Donner does a way better job directing that. Right.
It's like he took the same better puzzle so pieces, but he put them together right instead of just like to get them into the spot. But it's the same pieces. I had guilty feelings about two because I think that the general populace does like it quite a bit. I think the Superman population.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it made 190 million, and the original made 200. So it was well liked. I think Siskel and Ebert actually liked it better than the original.
So I think that it's just my like Catholic guilty conscience that felt bad. It's like, no, that's where I'm at. If I'm watching these movies, that's where I'm putting that one.
No.
Chris, anything to add before we loop back to be on your seven? I know we already kind of hit two on the head.
Be on my seven? Me on my eight?
Oh, I'm sorry, you're eight. You're right. My mistake.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think we covered. Oh, I'm with you that, and I mentioned before that no one likes freaking Clark. And I don't. The scene, and one thing, this scene happens also in the Donner cut. But again, for some reason, I give more crap to the theatrical cut. The scene of like. He gets beat up in the diner, and he's like, I want the man I love back. And he's like, he's not here.
No, that's in both cuts, and that pisses me off so much. It is
stupid. Yeah.
You should have thought.
Let me just like go ahead and get my number eight, because it's going to come off the back of all this.
Okay.
I'm gonna go. So my number eight is Superman 2,
okay.
But it's the Donner cut.
Oh, surprising!
Ooh.
You know what? Actually, that's a fun segue, John. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, I was like, I have to. Okay, and to be fair, it's not fair, because it can't really be quantified next to the rest of them, because 75% of the movie was shot, and then Donner was fired before the first movie was even done. Mm-hmm. They were shot back to back, right? So Lester has to come in and reshoot over 40 to 50% of the movie, and so like it's not even that he even wanted to; he legally had to. So like again, they didn't know if their first movie was gonna be able to, because they didn't give Donner a budget, they didn't give him a time frame, and they just kept getting more and more pissed off that he wasn't getting in an imaginary budget, an imaginary time frame. So they fired him and ended up using the ending of Superman 2 as Superman 1. So the Donner cut is janky because they janked it up. Like they used the missile, and that's where the second one opens up like it was supposed to. And then you did the reverse time. Like, but it's messed up and cannot be, it can't be quantified fairly.
I think this is a good time to note that. So my eight is the Donner cut. So I had nine was the regular cut. A Superman 2, Ace of Donner cut, and I know I'm the one that pitched like, "Hey, let's separate these movies." I intentionally in my list, I have a literal gap. It's a spreadsheet, and I have a literal gap, and I have this is where to me the movies get watchable, and I did put the Donner cut there. Just it's just a better story. He just does a better job. The on screen final product is jank, right, because of the situation, but the story that he's piecing together in front of me. Is notably better. It's like, even if I put them next to each other, I want to give this Donner cut more credit because the vision that I'm getting out of this is so much more appealing. But anyway, so Donner cut's my number eight as well. Just weird that it was next to the regular cut.
No. See, this is nice. This is really nice back to back. But I cannot detach my brain from the first movie, how it ends, to how this starts. Like, I think the Paris thing is really stupid, but I prefer Lois going down the rapids or whatever, and then, like, he, you know, lasers the branch. I prefer that over she jumps out the window, because, like, no, she's dead. Like,
no, well, the window's like, better, man. The window's so much better. It makes so much more sense at the time of the flick when she does it. It makes so much more sense to me. No. And she pulls the gun. No, the gun is great. I love that she pulls the gun at the Donner cut. I think it's amazing.
Between them in the first movie, like when they're in the alleyway, he grabs the bullet and falls down. Like he, even if he was Clark Kent and like had his senses lowered a little bit, like he's not fully, you know, on guard. Like he would know that he didn't get hit by a bullet. Like I can still feel wind. It doesn't hurt, but I can feel it. Like that's dumb. And then, like, again, the ending sucks. And then he just reverses time to where none of it matters. Like, there's just too many things that don't work.
I do canonically, and John, I don't know how much you listen to this. I'm not trying to shame you or anything. I hate time travel always. And that's a big, big bugaboo for me that's going to show itself through in my rankings. Right. Time travel is a solution. It's always garbage.
If you keep the Donner cut, then I have to keep the first one, and that, like, I can't, in my brain, I can't separate them. So it's like, great, I'm getting time reverse in the first movie. I'm getting time reverse in the second movie. Oh, I want to say this too, real quick. Brando sued them from the first movie because he wanted like 11%, and then he had like $3 million for like a week's worth of work, 12 days or something like that. But then he sued him because he wasn't getting enough money. So they kick him out basically of the second movie because they didn't want to deal with him anymore. So then we have Clark's mom. And I like that she's like the record keeper. And I like that she talks to Clark about like his love life. He's going to his mom about this. There's something about it that goes with the story a little bit better than Jor-El. You know what I mean? Like the first movie you get Jor-El, this movie, I just feel like it's a little bit more, I don't know. I just feel like it fits the tone better of the movie. But I would probably take Brando, but
sure.
I don't know. There's something wrong I kind of like. List. I kind of like that it's.
Our lists are already so delightfully different just from, like, process of elimination of what we said. This is fantastic. Just want to throw that out.
The quote also, though, I will say in the Donner cut, the quote, that I mean, it sends tingles down. Like, when my son was born, my oldest, like I said, you know, the father becomes the son and then the son becomes the father, like, or it's the other way around. But, like, you'll make my strength your own. You'll see the world through my eyes, all that stuff. And then in the Donner cut, he says, this is the last time we'll speak. Like, and then he says that. He says, the son becomes the father, and then the father becomes the son. The son that's re-engaging his powers. The son is in, like, it's beautiful. I love it. I wish that would have been carried forward into four. Like, if we're going to get rid of that, if that would have been put into four when he actually uses the crystal, that would have bumped up four a lot. But anyway, I just got to say that scene gives me tingles every time. So there is some good stuff, but it's just so disconnected. Anyway,
no, I think technically unless there's any more thoughts maybe from Chris on the Donner cut, although his hasn't come up yet, then we would be at John's number 7, unless Chris has additional addendums.
I haven't talked about my number 8 yet.
10, 11, 10, 9. Oh, you're right. Yeah. Oh, I gotta count these. I keep thinking 10, like a top 10 list, and so I'm one off. Yeah. Well, my mistake.
My number 8 is theatrical cut, Whedon cut, Justice League. We're now on the point where this is the last movie that I don't depends. I was like, this is the last movie that I don't care to ever watch again, and that's kind of harsh because I would watch it again had the better movie not existed.
But that plays, man. And, you got better options.
Yeah, even though
I had the same line though, Chris. Of that, this is roughly that cutting point of like, what would I seek out to watch again on purpose? Is a very similar.
I mean, when I first watched it, I liked it enough, and there's just some really cheesy moments in it that just try to really force laughter. Whedon came in
that
and he it's so weird. He. It just tried to marvelize this movie. That's not what the movie is. That's not what that universe was about. And yeah, there's just some jokes that just like, oh, why is this joke in here? And they're just like, it was just trying so, so hard. A couple of things I do like about the movie. There's a scene between Batman and the Flash. The Flash is like, what do I do? And Batman's like, just save one. Like, just say, go save one person. Great. Just do that. And like, yeah, that's just great Batman coaching. And once Flash saves one, he gets that confidence or something in him that's like, okay, I can save another and another and another and another. And that's how you know he saved them all. So that was great. What else was great about the movie? Yeah, with Batman versus the Parademon.
Yeah. Like, that's stupid when he blows up and it's on the wall. But, like, that scene is cool.
Yeah,
it's good looking.
Totally
too.
Agree. Yeah, that was the only other thing that I could remember that was like different from the Snyder cut that was still good.
I didn't even realize it was different till just now. You're giving me news.
What, John?
Oh, I said I do really like. There's a couple of little moments like when Superman comes back to life and he's like, "Pet cemetery, like, should we lay down and show our bellies?" Like, there's just a couple little lines that I wish would have stayed in. And I do like Lois being in there more in the Zack Snyder cut, just because it's like it has to do with those flashbacks. You know, I don't know. Like, I think there's some. And then the Lasso of Truth when they're on the car and you got Aquaman. And he's like, you know, I'm ready to die for a righteous cause. And then like the lasso goes on and he's like, actually, I don't want to die. I'm young. I got stuff to do. And like he realizes he's got.
I think I would say this would have gone a long way. I mostly don't miss it in the better cut, which is what I'm gonna call it. But a little of that stuff would go a long way without the whole Marvel quippy vibe to it.
Yeah. I would say I don't need the black suit in the Snyder. The blue, that's the best. Oh, wait, no, the suit in Justice League is fine. The suit in Black Adam at the end there, that's the best looking Henry Cavill Superman suit that he wears. But I never liked the black suit. It served a purpose in the comic book. It helped, like, that specific black Superman suit that he wears. He has, you know, somewhere over there. Like, it was to restore his powers after death and stuff. I don't know. It was better at getting the sun rays.
It had a purpose and not just like a Snyder, like, I want him to look cool.
Yeah.
Which is exactly how Snyder sounds in his own head. I suppose that puts us at number 7, but I don't know who. I'm going to say, John, it's an odd number and it's a 7. Go with your number 7.
So my number 7 is Justice League Snyder Cut. I also, like we said, I also like the entry, like, everybody knows. I like that. I like the end where Superman comes back and he is full on Christopher Reeve. He is full on. I'm a big fan of Justice, or I'm a big fan of whatever and a Justice, and like he's just so much like lighter of like, you know, go save the guys with the Flash, and like he's much more of a lighter Boy Scout personality. In the Whedon cut. He's a lot like Christopher Reeve, and I like the very end where they talk about brunch and like him and the Flash are getting ready to race. There's a couple redeeming moments. I will say it's the most fun I've ever had coming out of a DC movie. Now this came out a really dark time when my father had just passed, but. Like this movie, just like it, like I had Star Wars and I had The Last Jedi, right? And I hated that movie. Again, same time, 2017, hated it. A lot of stuff was riding on this, my emotions. Mm-hmm. So I hated that. And then Justice League, I was like, hey, I had fun. Like, wasn't great, but I had low expectations because everybody dogging on it. But I had a lot of fun. It's rewatchable, but the Snyder Cut is just leaps and bounds.
Okay,
so you're at number 7 officially, the Whedon cut, not the Snyder cut.
Whedon, yeah, my bad. Gotcha. Yeah.
So I have to disclaim my 7 is that this, before it sounds too offensive, this is where the movies get to, like, I would watch it again. The stuff above this, including the Donner cut, I honestly don't care if I ever see again. But from here on down, I would watch them again. And Superman, the movie, is my number 7. This is a good movie for its time. It is a solid origins flick. I don't like Gene Hackman as Luther, and that's huge. Amazing soundtrack, and I wanted to talk about it earlier, but I didn't want to give anything away. Amazing soundtrack. Fantastic, and it carries over into 2 a little bit, which is good, not the whole way. It's a good origins flick for the time, and I appreciated it. I hate time travel. I always hate time travel. That knocks it down a peg for me instantly. But to be fair, there's other things that I hate in movies that will knock other movies that people love down a peg or two for me later on. Number 7, Superman, 1978, the movie. I liked it.
I don't understand. I just don't understand.
Like, John, I'm not gonna lie. I think Superman the movie might be the most overrated superhero movie of all time. Like, it, like, I understand this thing is, I understand it's iconic. I understand that it is, oh my gosh, I can't think of the words, not inspirational, but
yeah, like, I guess it's inspirational. A foundational inspiration to several other,
like, yeah, like Christopher Nolan loves Superman the movie. He's like, yeah, like, Superman movie was kind of like a inspiration for Batman Begins. Like, so many people, so many directors, and it inspires so many people. I get it. You will believe a man can fly. Like, but if that movie, if it doesn't hold up, if a 20-year-old who's never watched anything Superman before,
35-year-old man, you know, whatever.
Watch, it'll be like, oh, but you
make me feel old. Like, I'm like the only one championing this. Okay. Like, everybody else watched.
But
this.
let me offer some context, though, of just as a reminder, but this is important. My number 11, Superman 3, number 10, Superman 4, number 9, Superman 2, number 8, Superman 2, Donner Cut, number 7, Superman the movie. I don't like the old movies because I don't like time travel or Lex Luthor or 3 or 4. You know what I mean? So the common theme, this was far and away of the original 4 and the Donner Cut was far and away the best experience. No question. I enjoyed it. It was good.
All right. I can't do it.
The soundtrack, move on, the soundtrack's amazing. It could be one of the best soundtracks in film. I hum that soundtrack. It's been 3 weeks since I watched that movie. I've been humming it since, man.
It's still used in 25. It was used in Snyder's.
They should have just beat the crap out of that soundtrack into those other, like, it's in 2, but it's kind of watered down a little bit and changed. And then 3 and 4, yeah, it feels almost even more so. Like, it just gradually less.
Yeah, I think it's only, like, really in the beginning and the end.
Yeah.
They
should have hammered the shit out of that just over and over again as much as they legally could have. It's amazing.
Since we're talking about soundtracks, my favorite Superman soundtrack, it's kind of interesting to say. Man, I think Superman 2025 takes it and then alters it a little bit. They're kind of pretty much, there's a little just more guitar, more modern riff.
Yeah,
on
it just feels more like.
I'm not saying that's my favorite. I'm just saying that's my favorite is Hans Zimmer.
Okay.
I love Hans. I'm not, and thing is, it's weird because the John Williams score is the Superman soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It is the absolute Superman soundtrack. If you're going to pick anyone to put on Superman film,
number 2 would probably be the theme song from the cartoon.
Yeah, maybe. But Hans Zimmer soundtrack, so freaking good. It's like, I get goosebumps at the end of that movie.
See,
that soundtrack.
See, I
kind of
got goosebumps a little bit at this soundtrack. Just from, so in the context of, like, I've either seen this movie 0 times or 1 time when I was young, and I turn it on knowing I'm watching a 70s movie, and I'm like, what am I going to do with this? And then that John Williams flavor just hits, and it's like, oh, I feel comfort.
Both make you feel like it's a sunrise, and like you're flying with, yeah, like, they really do that good job of, like, it feels like it's
my wings. Yeah. It's great stuff. But no, John, sorry to disappoint you. I try to add some context there that I mostly blame Gene Hackman in time travel. But it's also, it's a slog. It was an innovator of its time, but it's a bit of a slog. I'm sorry.
I will not doubt my brain.
No, you don't.
I'm not doing
That's not what we're here for. There's no brain doubting needed.
I feel like people are messing with it. Like, it's all left, right brain, John, right now. And it's like twitching.
John, were you born in like 1972?
My brother, I was born an old man, okay? I had a black and white TV. I remember renting a VCR.
Oh, come
okay?
on. I had a black and white TV till I was in college. It's
okay. Like, I'm
hey,
old.
We had a type. We had typewriters.
I don't remember.
We had not black and white TV. We're never.
John, I don't remember. Are you a football guy at all?
I had the turn dial.
Okay, so Oklahoma Boise State is like 2006, and it's one of the greatest football games of all time. It's a bowl game. There's a great Statue of Liberty play to win the game, a 2-point conversion, etc. I watched it. It's 2006 or like January 2007. I watched it on like a 6-inch battery powered rabbit ears black and white TV in bed because I still had a bedtime as a fucking, pardon my language, sophomore in high school. I still had a bedtime because I had strict parents. And so I watched it up there on mute and this big, just like right here. I'm a belly. I lived through the struggle.
Crazy for 2006. Yeah. The TVs were tiny back then. I mean, 19 inch was like average. Like,
well, and they were starting to go to the digital channels. You had to start getting those boxes. So there wasn't very many channels that would even come through on the regular rabbit ears. That just so happened to be CBS or maybe that I could still get on the rabbit ears.
Oh yeah, man. I'm a Happy Days, I Love Lucy, I Dream of Jeannie. Like, yeah, Bewitched. Yeah. Yep.
Fantastic. Anyway, the noticeable jump, and I at least hope that is some consolation for you.
No, it's not.
I think Chris is number 7.
I had hair before we started this. Like,
you know, I can't prove that's
not true. Okay. My number 7 is Superman. I love just being able to be like Superman, and then you guys not know where I'm
going to wait.
My number 7 is Superman Returns. Because I like Sean. One thing, I've never seen two of these movies. I didn't realize I didn't see. Once I saw them, I was like, oh, I've never seen anyway. So I recently rewatched all of these also, and Superman Returns is better than I thought it was, and also more boring in parts than I thought it was. But in general, it's better than I thought it was. Like, they have some great action. Like, there's some great scenes of flying and stuff. Looks great. Of course, like, Brandon Routh is really, he's perfectly cast. Like, he just wasn't utilized as well. And yeah, the scene, airplane scene.
Was he not as utilized as well, or did it just need another movie or two for him to like see?
I just think he wasn't
when we were reestablishing, like, Batman Begins, like, we had Spider-Man, and like, this thing was again trying to go off the Donner stuff, so it's like slower.
Yeah,
it was in a pocket of not sure especially in the DC, of like what to do. Like, again, like, we didn't have a whole lot. Like, we have Batman and Robin, and then they're like,
yeah, it's like, let's make a more romanticized Donner film.
Oh, I think what you're looking for is a good film.
But airplane scene, oh my gosh, terrific. Mm-hmm. Great. That might be a top 10 Superman
That's
moment.
Fantastic.
The scene again when he lifts Lois and says, like, I hear it all. You say they don't need a savior. Every day I'm hearing those calls. So freaking Superman. That's so peak, I think, Superman. Because Superman, he hears it all, and Superman's that type of character. One of the drawbacks, Lois Lane was whatever, terrible. I liked
okay with it.
Kevin Spacey as Lex Luthor enough. He was just doing Gene Hackman, and that was a little annoying. Had he been playing a modern Lex Luthor, he would have killed it.
He's pretty stupid though, dude. Like. He was with that old gal until she died, and then she like left the dogs and come back, and one dog ate the other. Like,
yes.
He'd be savage in some parts. When he was like, say what's gonna happen. No, he's pretty.
Chris,
I don't know. He's pretty.
I thought that he stood out in finally, picture the trajectory of watching through these movies, in what order, right? It's like, oh my god, finally, yeah. I have a Luthor that's like an actual villain and not just a loud guy. Finally.
I think the reason why I'm comparing it to Gene, saying it's like Gene Hackman, is that the characterization of him of being like not the businessman, modern Lex Luthor, who's the world's smartest man type of deal.
Yeah.
Instead, he's more of a criminal mastermind type of deal. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I was saying that they were similar. And I would rather have,
like the goofy,
I would rather
with
have
the wigs stuff, right? That's kind of silly, but that's great. Hackman-y, I guess.
I would say, yeah. And again, everyone knows the weirdest thing about the movie is that Lois has son. Things aren't, the math isn't math. And Lois should be like, what the heck? But she's not. She's just like, oh, I must have had sex with Superman and had his kid somehow. And I'm cool with it.
I hope.
Yeah. So, yeah. But in general, I would gladly watch Superman Returns again. Lots of great stuff. Like you mentioned, John, the car scene where he lifts the car. Mm-hmm. There's so much good stuff in
it. Never expected to like this movie as much as I did.
Yeah, yeah. And one of the things I love about the different comic characters is just how the city and the people around react to them. And so, like, when Superman dies at the end of Superman Returns, like, everyone feels it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and, like, his mom goes there, but she can't get close because she's not, no one knows who Clark Kent is. And yeah, so, you know, that's different from, like, when Superman dies in BVS, it doesn't feel as nearly as earned, and I'll get to that in a little bit, because the city, you know, people around, the citizens don't, to me, they react a lot better, and it comes across better in Superman Returns.
Very fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that put us at Chris's number six, and then we can do our sixes and decide if we want to cut off at six or do one more to five or something like that?
Yeah, we can cut off at six.
Okay, so let's all do our sixes. Chris, go first, and then we'll...
My six, and I'm surprised it was here, is Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
Y'all liked this movie a lot more than I did.
Like, I started tearing up watching this movie for some reason. I forget where, but to me, this is one of the best depictions of Superman and what he represents of, like, hey, the world is at war. And, like, and just the way it starts with a kid just riding into Superman. Like, that's so Superman to read a kid's writing and be like, oh, you know what? I haven't thought about this thing, but the innocence of this child made me think about this thing, and I want to go do it. And then he goes to the UN, and everyone stuff gets around. It's like Superman can do it. To me, because that's what Superman can do. He can inspire and do the impossible and make things feel like everything's going to be all right. And that's what Superman Quest for Peace does. And so that's the biggest reason why I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck is happening? I am really enjoying this moment. The movie goes down a little bit downhill for me. Although I will say Nuclear Man wasn't as dumb as I thought he was going to be.
That was my biggest takeaway. I was thinking, I went into this movie for whatever reason thinking, man, because I think I'd seen this one more than once. I think I'd seen this one in high school, maybe. And I had a really bad, like, ugh. And so when it was surprisingly not as silly as I thought, it's a pleasant surprise, even though it's still my number 10. But that was a huge takeaway for me. It's like, no, Nuclear Man was, I get it. It's all right.
The thing I hate the most about the movie and Nuclear Man is that he's so thirsty. Like, he sees her, and then all of a sudden, again, we got this, like, love triangle thing where the bad guy's trying to get with the superhero's girl, and, like, he just, it's just weird. Like, it's just, like... It's just weird.
I don't think we've touched on the weirdness, some of the weird relationship.
Three and four are the most sexual dynamics, right?
Of the Donner movies.
Ship-wise, three and four are the, like, weirdest, surely.
Yeah, I think it might have been three, when Superman turns bad and he dates that girl.
Uh-huh. Yep, that's
and, like,
weird.
They hook up.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like,
that one's weird.
What the heck? Like, that's freaking weird. Like, weird. And then he's like, I don't know who you are afterwards. And then she's like, oh, I thought we were.
Four was kind of awkwardly thirsty all around in a weird way.
The Donner cut, which is stupid, is that, like, he sleeps with Lois and then he goes and removes his powers. So there's no reason to remove his powers.
Both cuts, he does that. Let's be clear.
Oh, no. Yeah. In the Lester cut, he takes away his powers.
No, she's in his bed in the first cut of two.
No. In Lester, like, he loses his powers, then he goes and gets some.
I think John might be right.
Now I gotta go.
And Donner gets him and then goes and gets rid of his powers for some reason.
I don't know how to ask ChatGPT this without getting weird, but I'm about to. Like, listen, what was the order of Superman getting?
I mean, I would defer to John on those, either way, in the Donner cut, yeah, it doesn't make.
It didn't make sense. Okay, but it didn't make sense. You already did either one. It's crap, and it
true.
Pissed me off.
It's like you guys already. It wasn't a physical thing. You guys already did the deed. You already laid the super.
As a general rule, we are already accepting that Superman is pretty anatomically similar to a human.
But if he sneezes on accident, he's going to kill it.
Yeah, he's going to just shoot stuff through. It's going to be terrible.
You can't be connected with superpowers like that. She's going
to
die.
He knows how to control
it. He probably doesn't sneeze, you know? Hey, I got to be honest, he probably never sneezes. He
doesn't know how to control for Pedro. There's no way. That was his first time he could have killed her. No, it's irresponsible. You didn't know his first.
I could have been his first. Very easily. It would be easier to prove that it was most likely his first than it would the other way around.
Yeah, no. I'm 220 pounds of awesome. My wife's like half me. Trust me, like, it matters. Weight and physics, no. He needs to lose his powers.
Wow, we're about to get in. Never mind. I was about to get into some more than I was.
Just saying, he's losing power first. Otherwise, he could kill her. It's irresponsible.
You know what?
It's so funny how Superman, throughout all the different iterations, handles this thing. Because in Smallville, when he could only have first time he had sex was with Lana, because she has somehow got superpowers. One episode, and like they're like, "Oh, we can have sex," and like through it was comical because it was like earthquakes happening in Smallville. And like they'll be someone in the diner will be like, "What is going on?" And it's like, "Oh, they're effing." Smallville was weird. There's other weird episodes of Smallville, like when he goes to Pierce. But there's a scene because you know in Smallville he's slowly getting his powers in a couple different episodes, right? There's a scene he has his hot super substitute teacher, and I don't even remember how she looks. I'm just saying she's hot, and like it's like a hot summer day also, so she's like. and they're watching a video about animal mating and like and so Clark is just looking at her and then looking at the screen and he's like and then so his heat vision starts like coming out but it starts coming out almost like jizz. It's like and he burns a hole in the projector and then Nelly's song Cotton Here plays or that might have played before. But anyway, you could have a whole podcast episode talking about Superman sets at
rated and X whatnot podcast and episode. Oh jeez, John, I tried to ask ChatGPT. It confirms that you are correct. It's flip flopped in those. I'm gonna go ahead and say doesn't matter. Hate it both. And the Superman 2, he just walks up. He's like, I guess I'll give up my powers, even though Lois definitely doesn't love me. He didn't stop and ask that in either movie. Whatever.
Again. Yeah. No reason to give it away. No reason to go back and beat that dude up. No reason to destroy the dude because it doesn't matter. Like it just so many dumb things because Donner didn't actually finish it. You just cobbled this crap together. So nobody would ever take my list like seriously. But like if anybody was like, "Oh my god, how could you?" I'd be like, "Well, it wasn't fair. It's not fair to him where it landed, but how it exists is where it got put."
So. Chris, that was Superman Returns for you as your six. Did I get that right?
No, it's my seven.
Seven.
Superman Returns was seven. Superman Quest for Peace. Superman four.
Sorry, four. Six. Okay. So that brings me to my six, which is the Whedon cut, which we are to a place where I'm like, you know what? I was probably harder on this movie than I ever meant to be, and I rewatched. I was like, it's fine. I don't have any. I have issues with it, but just the mostly like Marvel quippy wannabe type issues, but it's fine. I wouldn't watch it again because there's a better version, but if there wasn't a better version, I would probably watch this again. And,
but again, like the Donner cut though, this thing was like 75% finished or more, and Whedon had to go in there, and he had to do enough to get his name on it, and he had to get it under the 2-hour runtime. So, like,
but he also has so to have much big Whedon stuff in there that he probably didn't need to, right? Like, he didn't come in and finish the project. He came in and, like, put his stamp on it.
I think he refilmed everything. Like, and I don't think Snyder had to go back. I think the only, and maybe I'm misremembering, but I think the only thing Snyder added was like that final nightmare scene
that he had to add filming for.
In the filming wise. And yeah, in the Martian scenes. And then I think pretty much everything else, like where it's pretty much already there. Like the Flash scene, I know, was definitely already filmed when he saves, oh my gosh,
everybody.
When, well, yeah, that, and also when he saves that car accident and stuff, Iris West.
Yeah.
Like all of that in the cyborg scene, all that was already filmed. And then Whedon was just like, I would 100% refilm 3/4 of the scenes Snyder did.
I cannot confirm or deny that. I will defer to Chris. Chris probably knows best. I will say it feels like Joss Whedon came in and was like, nope, we're going to do this thing my way. And I don't really like that way, even if I understand it was still like not an ideal situation. But I said that's why I'm at least prefacing with we're in the territory of movies where, again, if a better cut didn't exist, I'd probably watch this again and I'd be like, that's fine. So number six, Justice League, Whedon cut. I think that brings us to John's number six.
Yeah, my number six is Superman 4. I think a lot of it probably plays into nostalgia. A lot of it plays into I love Christopher Reeve. He is Superman to me. Like it's still got a little bit of that score still there, and it's also like again like 80s and 90s, right? Rock and roll, drugs, nuclear weapons left over from like you know the Cold War, right? Like it's culminating. The Soviet Union's getting ready to shut down, right? Like we have AIDS. Like these were like really big topics, and it really feels like a movie of its time going after the nukes and stuff like that. Yeah, like Chris was saying, it feels like Superman's like, okay, this is dumb. You have me now. You don't need the nukes. Let's go get rid of this. And like Gene Hackman kind of using that, and like, I mean, would I have gotten a Chippendales actor to be my lead as the main bad guy? Probably not, but he looks good. And like,
but he was supposed to be stupid, right? So like, all right, why not?
I have to say too, I love John Cryer, I believe is his name. 2 and a Half Men.
He played Lex Luthor in the Supergirl show.
Yeah, he did. Yep, and then he played he was Lonnie Luthor in that. But yeah, he did. He's just always been a great actor. You know him in Pretty in Pink and Hiding Out and all the stuff he was in as a kid. Like he was a lot of fun, a lot of good comedic. I don't know. He had good timing and stuff. I love the movie. Like for all of its faults, especially, I would love for them to go back and find all that lost stuff, put it through the AI machine or whatever they got to do to kind of get it put back in and cleaned up. I would love to see like the fully realized version of this thing. I would hope that in a few years, because I believe that footage still exists, that they could go back and do this. I mean, it's also a movie that, like, kind of, I'm not sure if it directly ruined Christopher Reeve's marriage, but, like, he filed for divorce, like, after this, and, like, left his wife and, like, 2 kids and got married, like, 2 years later. Like, you know, it's 87 was the last year, 2 more years, we'd have Batman. It's, like, it's just in that weird thing, and it, like, a lot of its budget got stolen from Masters of the Universe. So it's like, I just have a lot of like caveats with it, nostalgia, and just like, I just love that 80s vibe. And yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you are right on the 80s vibe commentary on it.
And so, I think, so that's like an hour, 40 minutes talk. That's as good a place as any to stop. And then next week we will do our top five, and then we'll go through the fun little ancillary favorite Supermans, Lois's, Luthor's, etc. But that being said, that's it for one episode. If you made it this long, congratulations. You got to hear Chris reference Superman putting jizz out of his eyeballs, which has got to be a first on this show. And my name is Sean Taylor. That's Chris Ford. Okay.
I'll just send you that clip.
I don't need to see
that's
it.
That's how it goes.
I don't need to see it. That's Chris Ford, a.k.a. The Objective Geek. Nah. And that's John over there, our special guest, and he'll be back next week for sure. Thanks for watching. I'll put all the stuff down in the description. Likes, thumbs ups, comments, positive reviews, bells, subscriptions, whatever. We appreciate all that stuff. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.